Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, Cash'em or Trash'em. We're going to bring a couple of these to the table, each of us, all three of us, all of the three bees. Blankers, you want to lead it off for us? You want to be our Jose Altuve?
Sure. I'll start with Cash It or Trash It in the fact that your Astros just won the World Series, and the Dodgers are the favorite to win the World Series next year with Vegas betting odds. What am I missing here? They had the best record a year ago and then didn't even get to the NLCS, and the Astros took care of business, did what they were supposed to do, and they're second.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have a really good roster.
Like, how many years in a row have you been saying that?
We can understand that a long time, maybe for a decade, to be quite honest. They always win tons of games. So you can understand why they're one of the favorites to win the World Series.
I got a real problem with the fact that the Astros didn't do anything and so far haven't lost anybody. Why would you not believe they could do it again?
What are the Dodgers' free agency? Like, how many key players are they losing?
Kershaw signed a one-year deal.
I don't know. Kershaw's a free agent, yeah.
Yeah, he's a free agent. I believe you're right. Turner is a free agent. Both Turners, I believe, are free agents.
Trey Turner's a free agent as well,
Jacob. I believe
Turner.
Both of them.
I'm not overly familiar with their situation.
Joey Gallo's a free agent.
I can see how Vegas would look at it and go, simply on paper, we expect the Dodgers to be the best team next year.
They've got pitching all with medical issues, a lot of guys coming back from injuries. Carrot Top is one of them where they're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be in their pitching, their rotation. Walker Buehler's coming back off of injury. Well, okay, I guess somehow, some way that the Dodger types can't get off that bandwagon that they're going to do it. They're going to be there.
One of the other things about the Dodgers too, I think the National League is stronger from like a 7-team perspective, the playoffs,
I agree with that.
Than the American League. I think the run through the National League is more difficult. Like, they got ousted this year.
Look at how much money the Padres spend and continue to just go for broke. Mm-hmm. Look at the fact that the team the Astros played in the World Series caught fire at the right time, but they're not going anywhere with that lineup. And they could conceivably get better. The Braves and their pitching as well. And the Mets spending money crazy. You're absolutely right on that. And I think that fact should factor in as well. The road to get there. We always talk about, you know, the road less traveled as opposed to the most competitive road that can break you down.
I'm trashing this one. This is a trash-em for me. The Dodgers are going to have the most wins of the regular season. They're going to run through the National League West. But the Dodgers can't win a championship in a real season. The only championship was the COVID year. Look, I think that was one of the most difficult playoffs to ever navigate because there was an extra round. So tip my cap to that. But there were 60 games. Trash-em. I'm trashing this one.
I was actually leaning cash-em. But Jeremy made one really good point. I think that, I mean,
just
if you asked me.
Yeah, what? And I don't, of course, I didn't expect
if you
any
asked,
flowers.
If you asked me to pick who wins the most regular season games next year, I would pick the Dodgers now, right here, right now. The point he made about how much more difficult it is to run through the NL is a really important one when you're talking about championship odds. Mm-hmm. If the Astros had to go through the NFL, through the NL, I don't know that I would have the confidence that I did in them to do it this year. So for that reason, I'm going to trash them.
I'm trashing it as well, simply because of the fact too, when you lose your starting shortstop, you keep spending money and throwing money over and over again, and then hoping it works out. The Astros aren't losing their starting shortstop; they're not doing, and they already did once, and they still won it. So you know what? The roster, the results. How do you not have the Astros start the season number one?
All right, here's mine: a team other than Kansas City or Buffalo will win the AFC.
Now, you gain points on this one because of the uncertainty about Josh Allen's elbow now.
That does help.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
Although, let's be honest, they have the greatest backup in the National Football League ready to take his spot.
Let me guess. Is that Case Keenum?
That doesn't have to get ready because he stays ready. The dude's magic, especially in the playoffs. Don't you remember the Minnesota Miracle? They have no problem if they drop down to Case Keenum. Go Cougs.
And with all that being said, I still think that, you know, Kansas City should have had every right to lose that game the other night. They won that game in overtime. Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. And I believe that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and a very talented top-to-bottom roster with Buffalo are going to be the two teams that once again duke it out for the AFC. So I'm going to not go with that.
Trashing them. Blankers is trashing them. What about you, Brendan?
I was trying to think of the list of teams that that you're giving me essentially in the field here.
The Dolphins continue to go for it and got better.
I mean, the Dolphins, I could see the Dolphins winning a playoff game.
The Ravens keep loading up on defense again.
The full list of teams that I consider legitimate threats outside of the Chiefs and Bills in the AFC is the Baltimore Ravens. That's my full list. I think the Dolphins could win a game or two. They could be cute. Maybe the Bengals could surprise us, but nothing they've shown us through nine games makes me think they can do it. Nobody else in the West. I don't buy the Jets are doing that this year. So I'm going to trash them because I really only see one other team that I put in play.
You forgot two teams. One, the Browns with Deshaun Watson coming back. And second, Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they are a team of destiny after what they did. So both of them are being trashed. Brendan and Blankers trashing them. Another team other than KC or Buffalo win the AFC. Brendan, what you got?
All right. The NFC playoffs will be boring.
Yeah, I'm trashing without even going in to do a deep dive here. Like, it's the NFL. It's postseason. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of people that are like, oh, they shouldn't expand the college football playoff. No one wants to see the top seed Alabama play the 12 seed, whoever the 12 seed is, but then they'll go ahead and bet on the Maction on Tuesday night. Like, this is football. It's the NFL. I don't care if they're playing 10-7 slugfest without any sort of points. It's going to be exciting. If it's the Eagles and the Seahawks, even, that would be exciting. If it's the Cowboys and the Giants, exciting. No, well,
think about if Brady's on the way out. People want to see whether this is the true failure of Tom Brady
who
at the end.
Who says he's going to be there?
The NFC South does.
Let me give you all you need to know, Brendan. As bad as you know that I've admitted the Packers are, they're a game and a half out of being a playoff team. But everybody's going to either want to see Rodgers fail or see if they can truly figure it out. Everybody's going to be watching the NFL playoffs, and no one cares who's playing.
I'm certainly not I believe, we're all going to be watching them. I still think it's possible they're boring. I think there's two teams worth watching in the NFC.
Who are they?
You know,
Eagles
maybe
and the
three.
Cowboys.
Those are the only two who are definitively. I don't think the Vikings are very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, they've kind of been a little bit boring.
If they had a different quarterback, I think that'd be a totally different story.
Brady's not boring just because it's Brady. Even if he's scoring 7 points a game,
look what he did last week. That was a horrible game. That was a tough game to watch. They were both just, you know, wallowing in mediocrity all game. And then Brady got the ball with no time on the clock and a chance to win it, and he did it, and everybody lost their mind.
Buccaneers-Rams last year was, like, one of the most entertaining games you could watch of the season, and then they gave us that Sunday.
We're seeing the playoffs, trashing them. All right, Blankers, what's your second one?
My second one is Jeff Saturday as coach of the Indianapolis Colts is going to be the thing that opens the door for more teams to watch and think about how to handle their coaching position. I mean, we just had spent about an hour on it, and people are passionate about it. I think it is a incredibly interesting move. I think that everyone is going to be watching now and analyzing with every week. And how it plays out is going to be fascinating in terms of what it means, the ramifications on the coaching positions in the NFL.
What happens because of it, I think, is going to be the ultimate decision maker here, move the needle. I think everybody's going to watch it because it is rare. This is the first time in modern football history that it's happened. Even though it's the interim spot, a little bit different, like Balzer told us, where you're doing it at the start of the year. Winning games is going to matter. I don't think the Colts are built to win games. It's the one thing I hate about the whole Jeff Saturday thing. But if he can get them playing competitive football and then all of a sudden they're in this playoff race, I think Saturday probably gets the full-time job. And I think that other owners, now that the seal has been broken, would be more willing to go this route than people have been willing to go this route before. Because the Texans thought about doing it. People crushed the Texans before they even came close to doing it.
That's why I think especially the Texans are going to be watching this closely to see what could have been, might have been, or how it could have played out for them had they done the McCown thing before this happened. Now they can watch it play out where they don't have to face the ramifications if it doesn't work out.
I'm cashing them.
I think you guys got into a lot of the reason why I'm going to trash them. And it's because Jeff Saturday is not going to succeed with the Colts. They're going to fall on their face. And I think the NFL reacts the exact opposite way. When the NFL sees things go poorly, they overreact in the opposite direction. I actually think it's possible Jeff Saturday leads to a longer time before we see teams do stuff like this again.
It's a good point that the good old boy blue-haired club really jumps on the bandwagon quickly. They might jump off even quicker. I totally see that.
All right, both New York teams, which, how about if you said this is the start of the year, both New York teams in the NFL will make the playoffs.
Cash them. The NFC sucks. The Giants are
so many playoff positions.
The Giants are like 85% of the way there. If the Giants win two more games, they're probably in the playoffs. The Jets is a little bit tougher. That's the one, like, I had to look at this one a little
no
bit.
No team has more wins in the AFC than the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the wild card spots right now in the AFC, you have three spots for the Jets, the Dolphins, and then the Patriots are still in the race, too. The Chargers, the Bengals. Those are probably, that's probably the list. Those five are probably fighting for three spots.
I think the Browns could be thrown in there,
too. Yeah, we disagree there. Maybe they're an outside shot. I'm a little hesitant on the Jets, but they look... I think they're a good football team. I know they're a great football team, but I think they're a good football team. And I think they could get one of the three wildcard spots. Like Joel said, there's a lot of spots to work with.
Yeah, that's the big thing that goes in the favor of this, because you're right. I've never been a believer in the Giants. I said the Giants and the Seahawks were going to be two of the worst teams in the NFL this year, and I still expect them to fall at some point. But my goodness, what Seattle's doing, and the fact that the Giants just keep pulling out games. I've been a believer, as you guys know, in Daniel Jones. And Saquon Barkley staying healthy as long as he can continue to do so looks like he's pretty damn good, and that's a good foundation to start with. I just don't see this happening. I just don't. For some reason, I expect one of them to fall off and not do this. So I'll say I'm going to trash it, because I got to stay right at the start of the season that I didn't think either team was a playoff team.
Brendan cashing them, Blankers trashing them. Brendan, you want to wrap it up?
All right. There's a pair of old elite quarterbacks in the NFC. We've seen the last of them as Super Bowl contenders. Doesn't mean that they can't be good players, but they will not play for Super Bowl contenders.
You're talking about Matt Stafford, right?
Of course. Tom Brady,
Jimmy Garoppolo,
and Aaron Rodgers.
Andy Dalton?
I knew Matt Stafford had to be in there.
Jared Goff?
Look, guys, I'll take the first crack at this, because I just talked to some of my friends back home on the way to work today, and there is real valid... you could say concern or a real valid take that this is it for Rodgers.
Rodgers did not look good against the Lions, which
he
has been
not
the worst.
He made a lot of bad throws. He blamed other people for his shortcomings and his mistakes. And I've heard a lot of people say what I first heard on ESPN, that this might be it for him, that he's not going to try and beat Tom Brady, and that he might just fold up his tent and go home. If that's the case, the Packers are awful, no matter who else they have, no matter where. This is the Colts and the Broncos and everything else. So I think what I saw the Buccaneers is not impressive, as good as their defense looked early in the season. So I think that's a distinct possibility.
All right, Blankers trashing them. I'm going to cash them. I believe you about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the Packers are going to play back into any sort of contendership in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think Brady can not only do it this year, but I think Brady's going to want to go somewhere and continue playing. Look, the whole divorce thing, I think, opens up like three
Has
more
Tom
years
ever
of Tom
been
Brady
to Green
playing
Bay
football.
In the wintertime?
I don't think Green Bay is going to be an option. I don't think we're looking San Francisco. Miami's off the table now. Look, Tampa Bay is going to be in the playoffs this year. And once Tom Brady gets into the dance, you got a chip in a chair, and it's Tom Brady, the greatest football resume of all time. Tampa Bay could be in championship contender land this year, because the division is so bad. They just got the great win over the Rams from come from behind fashion with a last minute drive.
That might save their season.
I think it's going to save their season. They're going to win the division, and they're going to get into the playoffs. And when Tom Brady's in the playoffs, you never count out Tom Brady. So I'm cashing them. 713-780-ESPN. Astros hot stove. It's already starting. GM meetings are going on right now. There's news on Click. There's news on Dusty Baker as well. How about Justin Verlander? Does he come back to the Astros? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Astro Hot Stove has already started. Like, there's already been a trade in Major League Baseball. I'm excited for Major League Baseball Hot Stove.
Is that the Rockies Braves
trade?
Yeah,
it was like Hilliard. Like, it really, yeah. I mean, not it moved the needle zero. But now the trades are happening, and we've seen players, you know, like free agency, which, I mean, of course they're going to like free agency. We've seen player opt out of deals, things like that. They asked Trey Mancini about his mutual option. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take a few days and think about it. I haven't thought about it yet. The biggest thing for the Astros is, like, who's the dude making these decisions, right? Like, we can sit here and talk, is Verlander coming back? What are they going to do with Rafael Montero? What about trades? What about bringing back Brantley, all of that stuff. Well, first, they got to find the dude. They got to figure out who the dude's going to be. making those decisions. Bob Nightingale tweeted out earlier today.
Friend of the show, is that safe to say?
Yeah, killer Bob. Yeah. He said that Astros owner Jim Crane spoke with manager Dusty Baker and James Click on Monday and plans to formally extend each of them to a contract for the 2023 season in quest for back-to-back World Series titles. Now, the wording of this one's pretty interesting because he said he plans to formally extend each of them to a contract for the 2023 season, which has made some people believe that Crane only offered the GM, James Click, a one-year deal. I think it's an incredibly vague tweet. I don't really know if it's a one-year deal, if it's a multi-year deal. We know that Dusty Baker was going to be on one-year deals pretty much until he no longer wants to manage. And Dusty Baker even told, like, Berman and McTaggart. Yeah, I think he's totally fine with that. And because of his relationship with Crane, like, he can pretty much manage whenever. And now he did allude to he wanted a raise after they won the World Series. And he told Berman and McTaggart, and I saw people tweeting about this too, that he has confirmed he is coming back, but they're still working out through the contract. So probably dollars and cents, right?
Yep.
Nothing has been reported on James Click, whether or not he's coming back. If it's only a one-year deal, because again, this says he plans to formally extend each of them to a contract for the 2023 season, it's a little vague. It makes it seem like it might be a one-year deal. Maybe it's a long-term deal for James Click. If I'm James Click and I'm only getting offered a one-year deal, I have other offers from other places, I'm probably entertaining those other offers from the other teams.
Could you ever be in a more powerful position as a guy in a general manager spot than James Click? Because you won the World Series. You did your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
If you were Luno before Scandal, because you were the architect. Like, Click gets criticized because he wasn't the architect. He just kept it afloat.
So he Grudened after Dungy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that overall, in today's game, it's very rare that, you know, it's always you looking for the job, you hoping to get retained, you looking. But you know what? Because other teams saw what he did, knew that it was a challenge to work with Crane on a daily basis, you know, understand that he understands analytics and implements them on a daily basis, and that's where the game is going, and is a deep thinker. I think a lot of teams are going to line up and say, we want you. Just say the word, and we'll let you hire your own coach, and we'll let you do things that obviously you're not doing there, and maybe we can prove to you, too, that you'll have a better relationship with our owner or owners than what you got going on now in terms of being able to do what you want to do. And the doors are going to be open. So it's not like, you know, if it's truly the way you interpret it, and I can see how you do that, if it truly is, it's a slap in the face. If I'm James Click, you're only going to offer me a one-year deal? Like, I've said all along, you know, that I think that any general manager that's analytical that gets hired for a job wants the ability to hire a manager that is a like thinker. Uh-huh. And he didn't get that opportunity, and he won't get that next year. So you got to believe he's got to have enough years to be able to say, I'll outlive Dusty, and I'll at some point still get to hire my own manager. If Crane's not willing to budge on those things, you're right. There are going to be other suitors, and he's going to have options.
Yeah, it's kind of – I don't know how that tweet really reads. I think it could go either way. Mm-hmm. And Chandler Rome tweeted as well, hello from Vegas. James Click and some of his lieutenants arrived here last night after the championship parade. He's expected to speak around 5 today. Nightingale reported earlier that owner Jim Crane plans to extend his contract. Based on what Nightingale said – based on what Chandler Rome has said, and based on, like, I haven't seen Click's name mentioned with any other teams, I believe James Click's going to be the general manager for the Astros. Whether it's a one-year deal, I'd be shocked by that, or it's a long-term deal, I expect James Click to be the GM this offseason, next season, at minimum, yeah. And probably longer.
Yeah, I think that's also the fact that I think Crane put a massive amount of stock in winning the World Series.
Yeah.
And because they did, he also knows it's a horrible look. If it's a one-year deal, it's a lame duck situation. That is offensive in today's professional sports, especially for a guy that won the World Series and was a part of orchestrating how they won it by getting some of those other additional pieces they needed in the last couple of years.
See, Alex says on Twitch, sorry to interrupt, that maybe that's Crane's way of saying that Click didn't want to stay, which I had that thought as well. Like, you can make the case that here's Click saying that, or Crane rather, saying, I did offer Click an extension to stay with a World Series winning team, and he turned me down. So, like, I've also thought about that master plan, but I think the Chandler Rome tweet that he's at the GM meetings in Vegas and he has some of his lieutenants with him, I don't think you're doing that if you're not planning on being the GM of the Astros.
And some of the other quotes, too, about we're going to sit down with Click and James and his staff to talk about, you know, this and that and players and bringing them back and doing these kind of things. I think that lets you know that Crane's intention was to have him back.
Yep.
But I don't think Crane truly realizes that Click's in a position of strength, that it's rare with general managers like this. So it's going to be interesting how it all plays out, because I'm agreeing with you. Look, I think it's a multi-year deal. It has to be,
right.
And for a lot of reasons, including the fact that he needs at some point to be able to pick his own manager.
Yeah, and some of the sound coming afterwards, too. Like, I know there was much talked about with Click, and people, like, talk about, well, you know, what has Click done? Like, what has Click done wrong, I would say, because whenever you inherit a team that's talented enough to win the World Series, why would you break it down, tear it up, make splashes? And quite honestly, he probably made a splash at the deadline for Wilson Contreras, and his owner and his manager said, we're not doing that. So I don't think you can blame Click at all for not being willing to make splashes. I think that was a splash-type trade that was nixed. I think Click's done a good job. I wouldn't say he's done a great job, but I think he's done a good job and certainly warrants being the general manager for the Astros, and I have confidence in James Click being the general manager of the Astros as well.
That there's a level of it's a very critical year for the Astros in terms of the decisions that they do have to make, because there's a lot of loyalty involved. There's a Maldi, yep, and a Yuli and things like that, and Crane doesn't want to be the guy that hires a new guy and then he'll take more of the blame. That he wants a guy that's going to be in the trenches with him to kind of own whatever they decide to do.
Yeah, it is a critical year, because, yep, there's a lot of like popular players.
Verlander,
that are up in free
Yuli,
agency.
Maldi. I mean, those are, you know, even Chaz.
Well, Maldi's not. Maldi's under contract.
He is, but will you make him the backup or will you make him the starter?
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's maybe a question that you could have. But like, decisions with Yuli, decisions with Brantley, we'll get into those at the bottom of the hour as well. Justin Verlander, the biggest name free agent. Sure, I don't know if that's a Click thing, though. I think that's probably
well,
a Crane thing.
Well, we've already spelled it out for you that, look, because they're best buddies, and the fact that he didn't shy away from what we've been saying all along, and what I've been harping on about who's going to make that deal in the first place, is the fact that when your owner says the first call I'm going to make on Sunday morning after the World Series is Justin to see what he's going to do, I mean, that tells you that he's going to be the guy yet again to understand how much he's going to open up his purse strings.
And Verlander has signed two contract extensions with the Astros. I think people sometimes don't recognize that. Remember, he signed the big, I think, $66 million two-year deal. He only started one game in those 2 years. And then, yes, the two-year $50 million, which he's under player option next year. He could pick that up, but nobody expects him to pick that up. Some of the stuff, too, like on the stage, press conferences after the game, Dusty was very complimentary to James Click. Which is like, okay, if these guys have had beef, which, like, I don't know if they've necessarily had beef. I think they disagree. I think they have a good working relationship. They don't always see eye to eye. And look, Jeff Passan reporting the Astros traded for Wilson Contreras, used Jose Urquidy as the trade piece, and Crane and Dusty said, no, let's not do that, and they didn't do that. Probably irritated James Click. But at the same time, like, you're going to have disagreements. You can have a good working relationship. At the end of the day, they won the World Series with not making the trade. I think that it's something that I don't think it's like a detriment. I think it's salvageable, and I think that it's something that can be promising going forward.
You've got two different situations with the same issue of communication, because we've heard it's been documented about Crane and Click. We've also heard about Dusty and Click. The fact that it seemed like, and I picked up what you were picking up on the podium and otherwise, that it seemed like Dusty and Click were able to overcome it, find a happy medium, find a common ground, and they're able to work together. I don't know if that's the case with Crane and Click, because Jim Crane, from all people I've talked to that have worked with him and dealt with him, is a very difficult personality to deal with on a daily basis. And he holds grudges, and he has certain things that really kind of stick with him that he doesn't like. We don't know where that sits now. Sure, a World Series makes everything in the short term feel good and seem good, but will it continue to be good going into the future?
713-780-ESPN. Let's take a look at some of those free agents the Astros have, some player options, mutual options, club options as well. And how aggressive do we anticipate the Astros to get in free agency? Still got to get to that JV conversation as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
I love a good drink at the end of the day. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, it doesn't matter. I love them all if it comes from Gentle Bend Spirits, because they do it better than anybody else. Why? Because they use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. It takes away all those impurities. Try a sip of Gentle Bend. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online at gentlebend.com. Exciting news, though, as the bourbon has now hit the market. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards this year. You got to get your hands on this bourbon. You can find it at gentlebend.com, but you can also find it at almost every Specs location in Houston. You can find it at Pearland Fine Wine in Pearland, Potter's Liquor in Friendswood, Peter's Cutright in Angleton, Reserve Liquor in League City. Get your hands on the bourbon, the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
U of H taking on Temple this weekend. Just can't escape Houston, Philadelphia, huh? They might have got us in the NFL. Houston got Philly in the World Series. And now we're looking to do it on the gridiron, college football this weekend. Celebrating Heroes Night. Caller number three, Clayton 2, number three. So caller number three, 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, November 12th. Kickoff at 2 o'clock. You can purchase tickets for $15 at uofhcougars.com/MVP. And a portion of the proceeds will be donated to MVP Foundation. Caller 3-713-780-3776. Tip off on the hardwood yesterday. Season opener for the number three team in the country, Cougars over Northern Colorado. Kelvin Sampson, win number 700. Only the eighth active coach, still coaching, of course, active, that reaches the 700 win plateau.
Congrats to Kelvin. Yeah. I mean, you know, a friend of the show, a friend of ours, a great dude. But, you know, a lot of people looking at his past and things that wouldn't even be batted an eye at nowadays that he had to pay a very big price for. So happy for him. So happy for the program he's turned around and their continued success. And just, you know, all this, all the support in the world is going to me for that program and for him.
Yeah, they looked good last night, by the way. They looked deep. They're always very athletic. Jairus Walker didn't have a good shooting game, but boy, he kind of looks like a Duren a couple years ago from Memphis. So we're talking about Duren a little bit earlier because Brendan's a Detroit Piston fan and he loves Duren. Right. He looks like a Duren, but like 2 inches shorter, but with a better offense.
Is that the freshman kid, the five-star? Yeah,
he looks really good. And then Sasser had a big game, scored over 20, Shed doing his thing. They're deep. They're deep. They're going to play D. Should be a lot of fun this season. So make sure that Houston Cougar basketball is on your radar upcoming if you're looking for a good place to go. Although it's tough to get tickets there. They sold out yesterday against Northern Colorado. Most games sold out already. So it is a high ticket in demand. Just let me put it that way. You do. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. How aggressive do we think that the Astros get in free agency? There was one of the insiders that ranked the top 30 free agents in baseball, and then he had teams that he expected to be in the conversation for these players, like Aaron Judge. You list the Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, blah, 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 blah. Of the top 30, the only player that the Astros would, according to this guy, be interested in is Justin Verlander. He predicted a $75 million two-year deal for Justin Verlander, which is $37.5 million AAV for JV. But how aggressive do you think they get with all of the market? How aggressive do you think they are with Justin Verlander? Like, would you match that 75 two-year valuation?
Man, I was a guy that just firmly believed that you had to have Verlander. He had to be your ace, and he had to be a guy that you had to have come back. And the playoffs started changing my mind. And not only did you see maybe him digress and him have issues you didn't expect to have that you wondered if he could get it back, much like we've done with other players in and around his age, including position players, but also that you saw the emergence of Christian Javier. And you know that you could still lead a rotation with Fromber and Javier and McCullers and Urquidy and, you know, and Hunter Brown, and you have other options even after that, that your pitching staff is so loaded that you could overcome it and use the money elsewhere. And now I'm open to that. I mean, the thing that really I wanted to bring up, and you know, we got so caught up obviously in other things, but as you brought up the Contreras deal, if they were so willing and Click was so interested in getting a Contreras and giving up an Urquidy, and of course it was vetoed, wouldn't that also lead you to believe that you don't have to give up anything more and you could have the same kind of catcher and you could keep him in Vasquez? You could let Maldi be the backup. Granted, you have catchers that are up and coming that, you know, you thought might be elevated to the major leagues, but you can find different things to do with those guys. But that's why I wish that Vasquez was on this list higher as a priority for the Astros and somebody that they would consider stronger bringing back, because you could use that money again if you don't sign Verlander. I'm interested, like you said, which was, and I understand at the time because I was fighting for Verlander to be back, and you were saying you could do the money elsewhere. If you could get yourself a bat or two and do something else with that money, I'm open to that for the long sustained success of this team because of who you have and because Verlander's price tag, in my opinion, is way too high.
I'm of the opinion that the best interest of the organization would be to let Verlander walk, to spend that money elsewhere, mostly offensively, because the Astros would still have six really good starters outside of Justin Verlander. I'm of the opinion it'd be better spent on the bats. I think the Astros next year would be better if they went that route. But I'm not going to be mad when Jim Crane brings back Justin Verlander, because I fully expect Jim Crane to bring back Justin Verlander. They're boys. They're tight. Crane loves to have Verlander on this team, and I think Verlander loves to be with the Astros. So I expect Verlander to be back. As far as like their current free agents, like you have the options there. JV has the player option. We expect him to opt out, but I think he will be back. Will Smith has a club option for like $12, $15 million, something like that. Will Smith will not be playing on that contract. The Astros are going to decline that option as soon as possible. Trey Mancini's interesting because $10 million, it's a mutual option. He has to want to accept it. The Astros have to be willing to accept it as well. I never thought that that would be something that came into play, and I still really don't, because I think Trey Mancini, even though he was awful with the Astros, I think he can get a contract greater than $10 million for 1 year. I think he can get close to $12, $15 million average annual value and probably could get a multi-year deal as well. So I don't expect that mutual option to be picked up, and I really don't expect the Astros to bring Mancini back either.
So let me ask you this. With that being said, I believe Mancini's a guy that really fell in love with the team and how he was treated and the fans and all that he went through and finally experiencing what it feels like to be with a true winner and contender. And I believe that he would come back. Would the organization accept it? If he came back for 10, would you accept it if you're the Astros?
Yeah, I would.
I think I would too, because I don't think that's that expensive. And I don't expect
him. And it's a 1 year deal.
So I don't expect him to be as bad as he was late. And I don't expect him to be really as, you know, as powerfully good as he was when he first joined the Astros. But I think somewhere in a happy medium in the middle would be just fine.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be as bad wherever he goes as he was with the Astros. I don't know what caused it, but he was brutal. He just wasn't good as an Astro.
At the end, but the hot start was what got everybody, including me, fired up.
Even then, though, he was like a sub 200 hitter. He was just hitting home runs.
The power surge was big.
Yeah, he was hitting homers, but he wasn't hitting for a very high average. Now, the free agents that the Astros do have, Aledmys Diaz, I think he's gone.
Unless he really likes it here, he might give you the super bargain again and give you like a $5 million, $10 million 2 year deal.
I think the Astros will go with Hensley at that super utility spot. Yuli Gurriel is an interesting conversation because I am open to Yuli Gurriel being with the Astros next year. I'm just not going into the season with Yuli Gurriel penciled in as my everyday first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this, like I said, when I talked about the hard decisions, there's going to be a whole lot of pressure to just capitalize and focus on just the postseason and say Yuli's going to be my has to be the first baseman next year. But when you truly look at the big picture and how far he fell off from the year previous, and because of his age, I mean, it's easy for us to say a guy like Mancini could maybe bounce back and be, you know, a better player and not with the way he finished the season. But to look at Yuli and his age and the injury and the fact that, you know what? Overall, it was a pretty steep drop-off during the fact that over the course of 162. Are you willing to risk it that either it's not going to be as bad next year or that he can find it one more time for you? I think it's a pretty risky proposition if you're the Astros for him to be anything but a backup.
Yeah, see, I'd rather Gurriel be my backup than Diaz. And I know Gurriel can't play the other positions that Diaz can, but
some of them.
Mauricio Dubon can and David Hensley can. I'd rather have Yuli than Diaz. Christian Vasquez is a player that we've disagreed on. You would like Vasquez back. Vasquez has said he wants to be an everyday starter. He's not going to be an everyday starter with Maldonado here. And also the Astros have two catchers that are deserving to be Major League Baseball catchers. Corey Lee, Jiner Diaz. I think that Vasquez is going to go somewhere else. Rafael Montero is interesting because he was their setup guy.
I think Vasquez goes back to the Red Sox.
Yeah, we disagree on that one, too. I don't think the Red Sox would have traded Christian Vasquez and then traded for Reese McGuire unless they thought
McGuire was their future. What's his name that Altuve hit the home run off of? It's kind of like Chapman. Yeah, the fact that you could see how you could get a couple of prospects and know that the guy loves it here and wants to be here.
But
why did
they trade for McGuire?
It's a good question because maybe, you know, because Toronto was willing to give up on him because of off the field stuff when he was a hot prospect a few years ago.
Where are you on Montero?
I think he's gone. I think he's going to get overpaid. And Abreu's ready to step right into his role. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's worked out for both parties, where he was going to be DFA'd and he was included in a trade and it worked out. But it's also from the standpoint of, now that it's worked out, he's going to be getting contract offers way too steep for what the Astros want to pay. He'll go elsewhere. The Astros will easily replace him, and you tip your cap.
Yeah, see, I think he can get like $10 million. And this being like his career year, I'm not paying him the $10 million. Michael Brantley's the last free agent. Like Jason Castro, but he already announced he's going to retire. Michael Brantley, where do you stand on Brantley? Uncle Mike.
Mike's going to be back as long as he comes back for the right price, and I think that it's the right move. The market for outfielders ain't great. I think that he has made a case and stated it over and over again about how much he likes playing here, how much his family has settled in here, how much that he wants to be here. And that will factor in as well to where he knows he's towards the end of his career. He truly tasted winning. Like you said, the speech he gave to be a leader in this clubhouse and how he's invested in it now. I think at the right price, he'll be back. He should be back. And if he's healthy, him in left field, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I'm more for Michael Brantley now than I was when he got hurt, because the rest of the market's not very good. I want to see Michael Brantley on this team with the anti-shift rule as well. Brother Bear asked us a question. Uncle Mike and Verlander or Abreu and Benintendi? You have to pick a pair. Mike and Verlander or Abreu and Benintendi?
Same price for both, huh? I think I lean Brantley and Verlander.
Yeah, I probably do too. It might be a loyalty thing, but I do. I lean Mike and Verlander as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll ask one of a Will Houseman what they think about the Astros free agents, guys that could be on their way out, which ones they would keep. Where is Justin Verlander in the mix there as well? And look, it's Tuesday. College football playoffs, new rankings will be out today. What are ours? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. I'm happy to tell you about HR&P. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley, members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row, going on a decade now. You've seen the HR&P signage at the football stadium over there. You've seen it at the basketball stadium. You did it if you were there yesterday. You've seen their beautiful building off the Beltway with that beautiful U of H flag hanging outside of it. Business owners, let HR&P help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. No box with HR&P. They don't just go there and check off little boxes. They do something that completely customizes a plan for you. It doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how big. They'll do whatever you and your business needs of HR&P. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, let HR&P help you out so you can dedicate your time to your business and growing your business. They also do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business. They know your business needs, and they're looking to help you. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out on the web at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We were talking about the Astros free agents a little bit ago. Jake Asman of the Wheelhouse, you can listen to him every Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, unless the Aggies are playing basketball.
I caught that last night.
The Aggies or yeah. Our show?
Both. Mm.
Yeah. I caught the very, very end of the post game with Buzz, who's very good friends with Jack Easterby, by the way.
You think Jack is going to join the Aggie staff? Could he be the Aggie team chaplain? Ooh.
No, I don't think so. I think Mikoto is still there. And Mikoto does a fantastic job. So no one's replacing Mikoto. Jose Abreu. Somebody texted in. Mikoto's the chaplain at A&M. Was it formerly at U of H? Jose Abreu. Somebody texted in, how would we like Jose Abreu for the Astros? I would love Jose Abreu. He is my highest target bat in Major League Baseball offseason. I want Jose Abreu more than any other bat on the open market. I would sacrifice Brantley. I would sacrifice Yuli. I'd sacrifice every free agent bat if it means I get Jose Abreu on the Houston Astros.
Cool. You talking to me or you or Jake?
Either one of y'all. You're both there, and neither one said a thing.
I like Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu has a relationship with Jose Altuve. Jose Abreu has question marks just like a lot of the guys on the free agent market, just like guys you're dealing with your own squad in terms of availability by being injury prone and not having the pop that he once had. It all's going to come down to a price tag for me.
I feel like Verlander is the first major decision you got to figure out.
That's why I said bet.
Yeah, well, because you're allotting a tremendous amount of money if you're keeping him. So you're going to be able to get him and Jose Abreu in the same offseason?
Price tag matters. I saw the projected value. Now, this is before a Verlander deal. It's pretty wide. And this already like factors in arbitration numbers and things like that, too. But Verlander is going to take a good chunk of whatever you do.
He's probably going to get $45 million a year.
Well, I would take the under on that.
I mean, Max Scherzer got 43.3.
I've heard several people. I thought he wants what Scherzer got. And so I think that he's going to want to be in that 43 range. I've heard several people say 45. Yeah. I can't see them paying that.
I would bet a heavy amount of money that Verlander doesn't touch 45 average annual value. I think 40's in the equation. I think that's certainly possible.
So is he 45? Taking a discount then? Because why would he take a discount. But why would he take less than what Scherzer got from the Mets a season ago?
Well, Scherzer was an anomaly. Like, we have to remember that Scherzer's contract that he signed with the Mets was far higher than any other average annual value for a starting pitcher. So,
that's Deshaun, and then that set the market.
But will that market be there this year? Like, that, I don't believe it's going to be.
Ooh, I think because you've got desperation in a lot of ownerships, I think it's
so you're taking the over or the under?
I'm going to say that that what he gets or what they are willing to pay.
I think Verlander's going to take top dollar. I don't think he's going to give anybody a hometown discount. I don't think he gave Crane a hometown discount last year. In fact, Toronto offered the same exact contract to Verlander, and in my opinion, Verlander went back to Crane and said, look, this is what I'm being offered. Will you be willing to match? I think Crane said, yeah. I think that's going to happen again this offseason. I think that Crane's going to say, go figure out what your market is, bring it back to me, and I'll make a decision. I would be shocked if anybody's willing to pay him 45 a year.
I think the Mets might be desperate enough, depending on what happens with the guys that they have to pay and the fact that they want to win and they want to compete and they didn't do it and their owner obviously likes to spend money. I think they're gonna look long and hard at overpaying for Justin Verlander. The Yankees might also do that.
So do you think that they will, over or under?
I think the Astros will not.
No. Verlander's average annual value whenever he signs his contract will be greater or less than $45
million. I think under 45.
Under 45?
More than 43.3.
Okay.
I think he gets more than Max Scherzer.
That's probably a better number. Like, if you're trying to get half of the bets on the over, half the bets on the under, 43.3 is probably the number there, to be honest.
I agree.
Well, why wouldn't he get more, though, would be my question.
Well, I think the reason that I said, like, the 43.3 was an anomaly. I'd have to go see, like, the second highest average annual value for a starter, but I don't think anybody else is above 40. I think the Scherzer's the only one that's greater than 40.
But, like, once Deshaun got it, whether it was an anomaly or not, everybody used that as the benchmark now, and everybody pointed that that's what they wanted to get, and then it became the number. It became the norm instead of the exception.
I think one thing with the Mets, too, I think that they're going to spend that attention on DeGrom. I think they'd be obviously way more willing to spend that on DeGrom than Verlander.
But I just think the other thing, Jeremy, is you've got big players, big fish in the water this year. You've got big-time owners with big-time pockets that are going to be willing to throw, especially if it's a short-term deal, throw money at Justin Verlander.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Angels, Texas, Boston's going to need to make some moves. The Phillies. There's a lot of teams that have money to spend.
I think there'd be interest. I don't think it's going to be at $43.3 million.
I said under. But I think that he's going to want, obviously, he's going to push to the bitter end to try and get it over.
I just got water in my eye. Who is the,
sorry to hear that.
Who do you think is the betting favorite to get Verlander?
I still think it's the Astros. I think they'll pay him on a one-year deal, and they would go to $44, $45 million if they had to. Because I think Jim Crane loves the guy.
I wonder how much Verlander is going to want
multi-years. The biggest intangible is the relationship with Crane supersedes all logic in this discussion.
If they pay him $45 million, I will not be happy about it.
I wouldn't either. I won't be either.
Because
think they have to do it. They showed the emergence of Javier as being one of the premier pitchers in baseball. To go with Fromber, who's already quietly one of the premier pitchers in baseball, you've got a loaded rotation, you've got a loaded bullpen, and if you got to go that high and spend that much money when there are different areas where you could spend it more wisely to get more success on a daily basis, I think it's stupid not to question it.
I think it's what you said. Like, we just talked about Abreu, and you don't think that the Astros would be able to sign Abreu or probably other bats if they spend that on Justin Verlander. I don't think that the Astros are a team that's going to go above the competitive balance tax. So let's start there. Mm-hmm. And if Verlander's taking $45 million, that's a huge piece of that pie that the Astros are willing to spend on their payroll. And I think because of the other six starting pitchers that they have that I think are all very, very good Major League Baseball starting pitchers, that it's far more advantageous for the results of the 2000 2023 Astros to spend that money on offense.
You could argue it, but I could bring Verlander back, and I could sign my own free agents, bring back Yuli, bring back Brantley, and I feel like I have the best team in baseball once again.
I wouldn't be mad if they re-signed Verlander because I think you can still win that way.
I think you would,
but you're also a year older. Let's not act like Justin Verlander is going to pitch to a 1.75 ERA at the age of 40.
As it relates back to Abreu and others, though, I think what you and I talked about earlier this week is also going to be something that comes in too, and that is that the intangible now is players want to play in Houston again. They want to play with a winner. They want to get paid less, but have the chance to play for a winner with a chance to win that ring, and they may be more willing to come here than they were previously with all of the negativity, and that's going to factor in the favor of the Astros.
Yeah, I don't know how much stock I put in that because I don't really think that when it comes to like Major League Baseball decisions, many people put any sort of weight on the sign-stealing scandal. Like, the Red Sox were willing to hire Alex Cora after the year suspension. AJ Hinch got a job. Correa got paid. Springer got paid. The Astros have signed free agents that have come here. I don't think
a lot of guys have looked at it that favorably and didn't want to deal with all of the kind of the outside of being on the field stuff and all the extras.
When did the Astros miss a free agent?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm saying I don't think a lot of guys. I think there are guys that probably in the past said, "I'm not signing there. I don't want to deal with all the extra stuff." That now might say, "I mean, I just want to win, and this sustained winning makes me want to go there. And if it takes less to do it, get it done, because plenty of these guys have made enough money."
Yeah, I just don't know if the Astros have ever missed on a free agent because of that. Every Tuesday, we've been talking about the college football rankings, and we rank our college football rankings before the committee does it because we can't argue with the committee based on hindsight. We got to be a little bit proactive when it comes to this. Blankers, do you have your college football ranking?
I really don't.
Here's mine. I had Georgia at number one. Georgia's got the big win over Tennessee, obviously. So Georgia's number one in my Branham ranking.
I agree.
I have Ohio State at number two.
Okay, I agree.
Where I go difference, I have TCU at three. I think that they have a better resume than Michigan. Michigan beat up on some
fourth,
Big Ten.
Right?
Yeah, Michigan's my number four, which at the end of the day is not going to matter.
They're going to sort it out. I was going to say, the Big Ten winner is going to sort it out by them playing head-to-head.
I think it's a really easy top four. I think Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU is like an easy top four. I put TCU ahead of Michigan's, where I differ from the AP. I'm curious to see what the College Football Committee does later tonight. After that, you got some really intriguing one-loss teams. Like Tennessee, their only loss is to Georgia. So Tennessee still is in the mix, and I have them at number five. I have Oregon at number six. And then a pretty big drop-off after there. I only ranked the top six because I don't think anybody else is really in that conversation right now.
Tennessee could be like Alabama in the past. You can lose a game early. You can make up for that game, still be in the conversation, and get there at the end when you need to.
If Tennessee runs the table, they're still getting in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, too, is like they're in the East. Like, it might be better to not play in the SEC championship game. Because if you're playing in the SEC championship game, now you're prone to a loss. Now, Georgia's undefeated. So, if Georgia gets to the SEC championship game, and I don't know, LSU maybe from the SEC West, if LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, LSU probably has a case over Tennessee, even though they have one more loss.
That's why I said it's like Alabama in previous years. You can lose early, but if you win when you're supposed to, you can get right back in it and be one of those four teams.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
A busy show. We're going to talk about the Astros offseason. What's the deal with Click? What's the deal with Dusty? Who do they need to bring back? Who shouldn't they bring back? How much is Verlander going to cost? We'll continue that conversation. Also mix in some football. Is what the Colts did yesterday with Jeff Saturday, does that open the door for the Texans to do something similar?
I hope so. All right, thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.